Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I want to speak tonight on the art of divine forgetfulness. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, forget about it. Turn to the other one, say, forget about it. I want to read, have you seen Mickey Blue Eyes? Anyone seen that movie? No, people, it's like everyone looks at me blankly. It's one of my most favorite movies. Check it out, it's a great movie. Forget about it. Anyway, I won't get distracted. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. The Apostle Paul knew something on this subject. He knew something about forgetfulness. He said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what's the Apostle Paul saying here? He's saying, forget about it. It's one thing I do. I love it's only one thing, not 101 things. He says it's one thing I do in order to press forward, to advance, to progress, to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. This is what I do. To position myself for that, I do this. I forget about those things which are behind. To which I say to the Apostle Paul, easier said than done. Now, I'm Italian. I'm a woman. I have a long memory. I mean, long memory. Don't look at me so holy. Some of you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of a bit hard. You know when you're betrayed. You know someone's let you down. You know someone's offended. Someone's rejected. Someone's hurt you. I find it really hard just to forget about it. But you know what? The further I looked into this chapter, I discovered something. I discovered that Paul hadn't forgotten everything. This is what he says. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Hang on, what's he doing? He's remembering. He's remembering his past. He's even remembering parts of it that if I were he, you know, I wouldn't be bringing up, to be honest. I wouldn't be wanting to remember, but he's saying that he's forgotten. A couple of verses later, he says, but I've forgotten all of that. Well, no, you haven't, because you just spent two verses remembering. So clearly, he has not forgotten completely. So whenever there is an anomaly in the Word of God, whenever there seems to be a contradiction or a paradox, I always ask a few more questions. I ask a few more questions. And I asked of the Lord, I said, well, what kind of forgetting is this? What kind of forgetting is this? Because he says this one thing I do, forgetting everything, but he hasn't forgotten. Maybe it's a different forgetting to what we think of forgetting. We tend to think that to forget means that we can no longer recall, that we've lost the ability to recall. We kind of have to suppress, repress our memories, and that we kind of have to take on some kind of amnesia. But you know what? The Greek word for forget doesn't actually mean that. The Greek word that Paul used, it actually means to neglect. It means to neglect, to no longer care for, to give over to oblivion. It's not a mental blocking out. It doesn't mean you no longer remember. What it means is that you no longer feed it. You no longer tend to it. You no longer dress it, rehearse it, meditate on it. It's a choice to not dwell or camp at that place. The words are frozen, means to let it go, let it go. means no dwelling on photos, images, social media, no longer rehearsing and reliving the memories. It's about no longer putting mental and emotional energy into what was. I know there are some of you here tonight, you've gone through things, you've gone through quite life-defining things. There have been great disappointments and tragedies. I'm seeing some of you, you know, those of you, some here, and you've lost a home, you've lost finances through no fault of your own. Some it's actually through something that you deeply regret. And maybe there's a relationship. I had someone, a boyfriend, 1988, turn up on Facebook the other day. It's interesting. Interesting thing. People think, oh, because I didn't get married till I was 43. And some people think, you know, I just kind of like lived, you know, in this bubble until Mr. Right came along. No, the girl kissed a few frogs before the prince turned up. Hey, just saying. And this was boyfriend 1988, who was one of the good guys, to be honest. I've had someone else. Boyfriend 1981 rocked up as well. I just went. Clearly, I hadn't forgotten. Arrivederci, mate. Out of here. But this guy, he was a good guy. Lovely fella. And I actually was the one who had to break off the relationship because the Lord showed me, and I'd been waiting for him to get his act together spiritually. That's what I'd been waiting. But I knew the call of God was on my life. He didn't feel he was going in the same direction. And I was just wishing and praying, just get with the party. Come on, just work. And it was like 4 years on and off, on and off. And in the end, I had to make the cut. I had to break it off. But what this did, him appearing on Facebook, actually showed me how much I had forgotten. I'd remembered, but I'd forgotten. You can remember and forget at the same time in God. You can actually remember and forget. Because I remembered him. Oh, I remember him. Of course I remembered him. It took up 4 years of my life. I remember him. But there was no longer the emotional attachment. Like that had well and truly gone. But there's some of you here today, boyfriend 1988 is still alive and well. You know, boyfriend 2012 is still alive and well. Girlfriend, you know, of last year. You know, we can have these attachments. But in God, the good news is that what is impossible with man is possible with God. And I want to let you in on a key, the art of divine forgetfulness. How can we forget those things that seem impossible to forget? How can we experience what the Apostle Paul was talking about? I'm telling you tonight that there is a key. There is a secret. I want to look at Joseph quickly. Joseph, if there was someone who had reason to remember, it was Joseph. I mean, come on. If you know the story of Joseph, here he was. His brothers wanted to kill him. They wanted him dead. One brother said, no, let's spare his life. So he was sold into slavery instead. Sold into slavery, and then as a result of that, went through all sorts of pain and injustice, was wrongfully accused of sexual assault. He ended up in prison, forgotten for years, until such time, and God released him. He was promoted to prime minister of Egypt, I mean, in charge of all the resources of Egypt. And there came a time when the past returned. There came a time, and his brothers showed up. It was a time of famine in the land. The brothers are looking for food, they're looking for provision. And Joseph is the one who can either provide it or withhold it. Now, this is the thing. The brothers turned up. Joseph hasn't seen him in years. He remembers. He remembers. In fact, his response is he has to turn because he starts to weep. But the interesting thing is even though he has remembered, he has forgotten at the same time. Because miraculously, the power of what they had done had been prized off his soul. There was no longer any attachment. I mean, if anyone had reason to be bitter and twisted, it was Joseph. If anyone had reason to take revenge, this was his moment. And yet he didn't. And he made this declaration in Genesis 41:51. It says, Joseph named the firstborn of his children. He has two children. He names his firstborn Manasseh. which means causing to forget. For he said, God has made me forget all my trouble and hardship and all the sorrow of the loss of my father's household. God has made me forget. What's the key today? The key today is this, that there is a grace. There is a supernatural enablement available to us. God tonight is going to release, I believe, a grace that will enable you to forget what you cannot forget, enable you to let go of that which you cannot let go of. God is going to give you your Manasseh. Maybe you've been through heartache and heartbreak, disappointment, discouragement. Maybe there's things that haven't turned out the way you expected. There's someone here tonight. God just showed me you've been wrongfully dismissed from your job. You were accused of something, or that it just. I just see where you lost your work, and it stayed with you. It was some time ago. It stayed with you. God can give you your Manasseh. No matter what it is tonight, that you. I don't know if I can let go of this. I don't know if I'll ever get over this. Manasseh, grace to forget. Joseph had even remembered what they'd done, but he hadn't dwelt there. He wasn't stuck. And what's more, he'd reached forward. He'd pressed toward his destiny and had occupied the call of God on his life. He doesn't stop there because he has a second child and he names this child Ephraim. Genesis chapter 41 verse 52. He named the second son Ephraim, fruitfulness. For God has caused me to be fruitful and very successful in the land of my suffering. The word to you tonight is forgetful precedes fruitful. Forgetful precedes fruitful. Some of you here, you want your Ephraim. Oh God, I want to be successful. Oh God, I want to be fruitful. Lord, I want to be all you've called me to be, but you can't have Ephraim until you've had Manasseh. Are you willing? Are you willing to engage in an act of divine forgetfulness tonight? Are you willing to position yourself to receive your Manasseh and be able to declare, like Joseph, God has caused me to forget. God has made me forget. I could never have done it on my own. It would have been impossible. I never thought I'd get through this. My husband and I used to own a home. We relocated from Adelaide, South Australia, to Sydney 10 years ago. Now, this home was a home I had built. I, as a single girl, I say to all single girls, don't wait for the man. Get your home. You know, get the career. Travel the world. Because I always wanted to be one of those girls that was like, oh, I wonder why she's not married. Rather than, well, I know why she's not married. You know, I wanted to be, you know, living life large in the call of God. Don't wait until you're married to step into the call of God. Hey, I'd been ministering for over 10 years, 13 years before I got married. But this home, so I built this home. It was a miracle home. God had given me a promise. I didn't even have a cent in the bank towards a deposit. And I walked out by faith this promise and built this home. So I loved this home. You know, I had a huge emotional attachment to it. But we had decided together, we felt the Lord lead us to sell that home as a seed as we stepped into our new destiny. We really felt like we needed to make a break from Adelaide. It was just what we felt on our heart. And in the natural, you don't sell real estate. Everyone will tell you in Australia, you don't go sell, don't ever, ever sell real estate. But we felt to do that and we sowed considerably out of the sale of that home. Now, I fully expected, okay, we've done that, Lord. Where's my home in Sydney? Fully expected. God. Now, I knew we couldn't afford in the natural to buy in Sydney. Like the cost of a home in Sydney was four times, actually even more probably now, of what it was in Adelaide. But we figured, well, we need a miracle anyway. Let's just knock ourselves out. Let's just give to God and position ourselves for a miracle. Well, 10 years down the track, it's like still renting in a very small apartment. I'm like, so God, what was that about? And starting to resent God and resent my husband because I started to blame him. This was your idea. Conveniently forgot the fact that had been in agreement, but this is your idea. You never liked that house anyway. It was my house. And what's more, regret, huge regret that we'd sold it. I think if we hadn't have sold it, at least we'd have an income from the rent. And to be honest, it probably been churning there away there for some time, for some years. It had just was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I had an aha moment. I was in a prayer meeting. This is only probably about 6 weeks ago. And I could see. I'd left Adelaide, but I still lived in that house. I had relocated, but I hadn't shifted. And I felt the Lord say to me, Vicky, you got to forget about it. You got to engage in an act of divine forgetfulness. You have to intentionally. I'm thinking, Lord, how do I do this? How can I let that go? And this is when he spoke to me. He made Joseph forget. I made Joseph forget. I can cause you to forget. It's not that I've forgotten. I can still picture that. But it's like, as I did it, this is what I did, just to give you something practical. Can I have the worship team return, please? I did something practical. I drew a quick picture. Just had a piece of paper, quick picture of the house. It was just it was a cottage-style house. And then I put it on the floor and I took a step over it. So it was now behind me. Some of you need to do that tonight. Yeah, I don't know what it is that's holding you back. For someone, I can see some of you, you've come from another place. You've come from another church maybe, and you have to actually, I have the whole worship team, so not just the keyboard, if that's possible. Here they come. So it's like that season of the past. God wants you to let it go. He wants you to forget about it. He wants you to receive the grace tonight that will cause you to forget. So you need grace. We can't do this. We actually can't do this on our own. Someone else here tonight, I'm seeing a relationship with your father. You haven't spoken to him in years. Like it's really not good. Oh, how could I ever forget? How could I ever? God can give you a Manasseh moment tonight that you can receive your Ephraim. I see the level of fruitfulness in this campus going to a new level. I can see, it's like I just had a picture then of fruit. I can just see it lifting. There's a couple on the end there, sweetheart. You got a black top with some blonde girl. Yeah, what's your name? Andessa? Is that your husband? I have to check. Hey, sometimes Andessa and James. I can see something of a season. It was a winter. It was a cold season. It was an unfruitful season. And you've blamed yourself. And I hear the Lord say, it was a season. It wasn't your fault. You couldn't have made it any different. It was a season. Seasons come. Seasons come and seasons go. This season actually worked more in you than what you realize. But I'm seeing there's a moment tonight and God's going to give you your Manasseh. And I see the lid lifting off. I literally see a lid. And I see the fruit, but it's been contained within a lid, within a space. But the lid's lifting off and I see it tumbling out like the vine. I'm reminded, it says in the word of Joseph that he was a vine. Fruitful vine that went over the wall, and I'm just seeing fruitfulness. I see you breaking through that containment as you have your Manasseh moment tonight. I just see some self-blame. No more, not your fault. Not your fault in Jesus' name. For those of you in here tonight, you're thinking, what on earth was that? So you know, I'm not a medium, not talking to spirit guides, no, you know. Not talking to dead people. It's a gift. It's a gift from the Bible. It's called prophecy. And simply, I just get some thoughts. I get some impressions. I'm not hearing an audible voice. Don't be afraid. I don't see your sin. Some people, you know, they get nervous. You get the two extremes. You get people coming in with bright T-shirts. Like, pick me, like the donkey in Shrek. Like, pick me, pick me. And then you've got other people who are sort of shrinking back in their chair and like, oh my God, no one told me a prophet was here tonight. Oh no. Like, oh, well, she's going to see my sin. No, no, mate. I've got enough sin of my own. I'm not worried about yours. Oh, in fact, I'll see you better than you see yourself. That's honestly the New Testament prophet. That's what we're about. Speaking your God potential. I see it, mate. I see the biggest buffheads come into our church, and I see my husband. This is, oh, you don't have that term in America, do you? An idiot. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. My husband will say, that guy's an idiot. And I'm like, no, I can see the call of God, you know? So we should, you know, so just relax. Who needs a Manasseh moment tonight? Tell you what, some of you need to just forget your past and come back to Jesus. Yeah, come back to Jesus. Okay, you went off the rails. You've done some dumb things. There's a number of you here tonight, and I'm still seeing you. Kind of like you got a foot each way. You know, you're in the world. You're in the kingdom. There's reasons why we do that. I'm not wanting to condemn you, but I'm just saying, don't rip yourself off. You can't live life like that. Come back. Get back into the God zone. Come back. Forget about it. He does. Yeah, the stuff, we've all got a story. We've all done dumb things. The wonderful thing is, he actually uses that to be a part of our story, our testimony, hey, to reach other people. And maybe you're here tonight and you never, ever have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight, you've never actually opened up your heart and admitted your need for God, not just to believe in him, but to surrender to him, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Like, I can't live life my way anymore. God, I want your way. Maybe you've sensed something here tonight. Maybe you sensed something in the life of your friend, life of others. You think they've got something. Yeah, they've got life. Jesus is the life. He is life. And I want to introduce you, connect you to eternal life. Life starting now. And just because I see you in church, I doesn't mean you're a Christian. I'm not going to assume, because you're here sitting on a seat in church, that you actually are a surrendered follower of the Lord. But tonight can make all the difference. Tonight, I can pray for you. You would know on this day in October 2018, yeah, that you became a Christian. You became born again. But being born again is all about a fresh start. First, you're born from your mother. Then the next time, you're born again from Father God. You're born into his family. And I just want to give anyone here tonight an opportunity to receive Jesus, whether for the first time or another time. So if that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity. But firstly, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes for this reason, for you to consider your spiritual condition. Not as a religious tradition, really. Where are you at with God tonight? Are you at peace with him? Are you living life his way or your own way? Is Jesus in the driver's seat of your car? Or have you taken him out? You know, is he just there in the passenger seat? That's okay, I'm friends. I'm just not going to, you know, just want him to take control because you're afraid. Maybe you've got him in the back seat or in the trunk of the car. Even worse, maybe you've turfed him out altogether. I don't know. But tonight, right here, right now, you can make a decision that, Lord, I'm going to receive you. I want to receive you. He will come. He will bring hope for your future. He will come. He'll bring healing for your past. He'll come and he'll give you vision for the wonderful plan that he has for your life. So if that's you tonight, you say, Vicky, you're talking to me. You're talking to me. I want to get right with God. I want to receive Jesus. I want to come back to him. I want to receive him for the first time. I simply want you to indicate by just lifting your hand, give me a wave and say, that's me, Vicky. Pray for me. I want to get, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else tonight? God bless you, sir. Yeah, over there. God bless you, sweetheart. Yep, God bless you. God bless you. Oh, praise God. Who else is there tonight? God bless you, sweetheart. Great decision. Yep, God bless you, darling. I saw the other hand there. Yep, down the back. Oh, there's quite a number of you over there. This is awesome. It's wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, God bless you.
God bless you, sweetheart. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Is there anybody else? I'm just I don't want to rush if God's moving on people's hearts. There's one person, I'm really feeling there's one person, you've been stuck. You've been stuck and fear has been the thing. Like you're fearful of God. If I give my life to Him, never know what He's going to do. I tell you what, I made this decision nearly 40 years ago. I never used to stick at anything. No one thought I'd stick at this. 40 years later, people thought it was a phase. Because I tell you what, I've never found anyone as consistent and as reliable and as just like as true as God. It's not, I'm going to wake up and see what He's like this day. Oh, what's He going to be like tomorrow? No. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. He's no longer angry. I need to say this with someone. There's someone here, you've got a religious history, a religious mindset. God is no longer angry with you. He put all His anger on Jesus. Do you understand this? All the wrath of God went on Jesus, and Jesus went to the cross, and from that point on, God is not angry anymore. Often we don't get the gospel. He's not angry at you. He's no longer angry ever at any of us. He loves us. He loves us. Don't let fear of an angry God stop you from surrendering your life to Him. Because He loves you. I feel I need to say that to someone here. So I'm going to ask one last time. If there's anyone else here, say, yeah, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to receive Him. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sweetheart. That's important. Yeah, God bless you, sweetheart. I'm going to ask right now every single person who raised their hand. Can you raise it for me one more time? Every single person, every single one. I want to make sure every single one of you is seen. We got how many over there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 over here. How about in the middle? God bless you, sweetheart. Over here. Over here at 1, 2, 3. Now that's not everyone. I know that's not everyone. There you go. Yep, that couple over there. And we're going to pray a prayer right now. It's for those of you who raised your hand. Doesn't matter if you prayed this prayer before or if you haven't. What's important is now. You raised your hand for a reason. So it's important what God is doing now. But we're all going to pray this together with them. Is that right? Yeah? For those of you who raised your hand, I want you to know that God sees what's happening in your heart. And at this moment, as you pray, God's answer is yes. Yes, He never says no, ever, ever, ever. So can we pray together? Right now? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jesus. I thank You that He died for me to give me life. And right now, I receive You, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry I've ignored You and lived life my own way. But tonight I choose Your way. I thank You that You love me and You have great plans for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Great decision. I came from Sydney, Australia for nothing but for you people, it's worth it.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.